With a job shop, designing crew, sucking up OT and PD2. If the job runs late, we'll work some more. Cut an OT and you're out the door.
My name is Hutch and my IQ is high. I'm the best damn shopper that money can buy. You need me to do this job for you, cause the captains you got don't have a clue.
My name is Paul, it designs my life. I love pig iron more than my wife. I got no use for the guys in stress. Ton of raw stock ought to do it, I guess.
My name is Lee, I'm a straight-laced twit. I think about numbers and that's about it. Don't mind the gravy stains on my tie. I bought it that way back in 45.
Hello, Blind Cool Tech. This is Keith Watson. I'm sitting out here on a Sunday morning listening to my neighbors down the street mowing their lawn, listening to the birds and the planes and drinking a cup of coffee, and thought I'd sit down and do a little career cast. That and play with the new iRiver that I got. Unfortunately, I think I made a bad choice, but, only in that, I was wanting to do some podcasts, some sound scenes of some roller coasters. I'm into roller coasters. My daughter and I are roller coaster buddies, and I thought, man, that'd be cool if I could take y'all on a couple of roller coaster rides from here in Florida. But unfortunately, I didn't really think about it prior to the purchase. I was thinking more of accessibility of the device in that I wanted to put Rockbox on it and wasn't thinking too much about the fact that a hard drive based MP3 recorder / player would not do well on a 2G roller coaster. So I guess some of some of my plans for some sound scenes of some roller coasters will have to wait until I get myself a CF based recorder. Anyhow. Where do I start? Let's see. I am 43 years old. I was a printed circuit board designer / mechanical enclosure designer, mechanical designer. I made the choice a long time ago to do that type work for as long as I could. I have RP. I still have light reception as far as my vision goes. My right eye, I still have a little bit in the central vision, which allows me to not read the monitor anymore, but at least see a crosshair location of, I can get some orientation on the screen as far as system computers go. So that's helpful. Got a little bit of peripheral vision left, which is helpful, but is not helpful. It's more of a hindrance than it is a help, but it's still there. It's allows me to maneuver, but yet it also I also get startled very easily when things pop into that little field of vision that people moving or cars or objects, and sometimes that can be a hindrance. Anyway, let's see. So that said, I grew up a sighted individual, although as some of my friends in the blind community know, that my mother is South African, and that's kind of where I got the genetic disorder from. But when we came back to the States, as a young adult, my mother started the Central Florida chapter of the RP Foundation, which has since become the Foundation for Fighting Blindness. But at the time, being heavily involved with that type of stuff and what was available for a blind person, which I wasn't, you know, as at 12, I could see just as good as any 12-year-old. So, but they knew that I was losing my vision or going to, so hey, they better start training me in being blind. So here's how to use Braille. And funny enough, actually, I listened to one of the other podcasts the other day about an opticon. I can remember learning to use an opticon at 14, 30 years ago when they first came out. This was this cool thing, but useless, because, you know, I didn't stop driving till I was 30 and 31. I still read books, printed material, up until I was 37. And it's only recently that I've gotten to the point where I can't see a monitor anymore. So, you know, at 43, I feel like I'm just now becoming what I would term as a valid a blind person, you know. It's almost an honorary member of the group, so to speak. But anyway, so, you know, I had chosen being, I guess I'm what I'm trying to say is that when I was young, being involved with all this brought me to a mental state that I should not have been. I think my mother made a mistake in that. I should have been able to, or been allowed to, grow up as not knowing, but not having it as such a central portion of my life. She I think went overboard in her enthusiasm for raising money and getting involved and doing all this, where it brought me to a point in my mental state that oh my God, you know, when I could really understand it, oh my God, I'm going blind, what am I to do? And as a young adult, you don't really want, or as a parent, you shouldn't really want your child to be in that state. It's like, I guess I'm just talking from personal experience with it when I say that, you know, when I did realize this, it's like, oh my God, I better do as much as I can and have as much as I can and experience as much as I can of the world, and not really concentrate on the future, you know. So I wound up basically screwing myself in that I went off and partied and played and just generally abused myself to a point where I was not in a good position. So at when I finally came, and I guess it was a depressed state as well. I guess it was, you could call it a state of depression. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't claim to be, but I think that that a child should not be put, or a young adult should not be put into that position. But anyway, I was. And when I finally decided what I wanted to do with my life, that I liked computers, and that you know, at the time computers were just becoming available, and wow, that would be a cool career to get into, you know. And I started to program, started learning higher level languages, then started learning lower level languages, assembly. And when I started to play with assembly, I started to realize that I was actually manipulating states on a chip. And I started to get curious. I'm very curious about how things work. I've always have been. And when I started to pull electronic equipment apart and see how these things were put together, I started to think, man, that'd be pretty cool to play with. And I started wanting to learn how to do it. Well, I eventually, like I said, was in school at the time and learning about programming, and decided that a career in electronics would be a good path to go down as long as I could. It's getting warm out here, so I'm going to do one of these walking things. Let's see if it works. So anyway, I went to school and I got a degree in electronics, and went to work for an engineer who, come on, Chris. Come on, buddy. My guide dog, Chris. Come on. There you go. I need to WD-40 that door. Who designed solid state equipment for emergency vehicles, fire, ambulance, that type of stuff. And we took, and we also had some boxing stuff, which, if anybody's interested, I'll do a whole nother career cast on that, because there is some interesting stories that I've got about the boxing industry and designing equipment that goes into boxing gloves and brings some semblance of legitimacy to the sport of boxing. But I'll leave that for another time, because I don't want to go too far into that, because I could talk all day on it. But so what it came down to was, because of the Boxing Commission and some other pitfalls that this engineer ran into, he closed the shop down. And I was left without a job 1 week before Christmas. And I wasn't too worried about it. I mean, I had just graduated school a few months before, and decided that nobody was going to be looking for hiring anybody until after the new year. And so I was just going to enjoy and relax. And actually, funny enough, wound up finding a job 3 days later. Right here, local in town, there was I answered an ad for a schematic capture gig with a job shop, and had a 4-month employment opportunity turn into a 3-week employment opportunity. Actually, about a month, 4 weeks. Took a 4-month job and completed it in 3 weeks, and then hung out for another week doing some extra stuff that I was I basically told my boss at the time that after I'd finished the work and was looking for work to do, that I needed to hit the road because, either he'd find me more work or I needed to go because I wanted to find a full-time position. And so he did. He cut me loose, and I went searching for a job. And actually, in that time, my previous boss had gone back into business, Harry called me in about a month after he let me go, and offered me a position, and said he liked my work and wanted to offer me a position. So we talked, and I took it. Worked for him for 12 years, and then worked full time for him for 10 years, and then 2 years I worked part time between engineering and IT. But we'll get to that. What I did for him was lay out printed circuit boards and design. Let me tell you a little bit about the company. We do contract manufacturing for defense. We're an A&D shop, aerospace and defense. We do short run, very complicated type printed circuit board assembly, and our engineering department designs cryptographic equipment for DOD, NSA, FBI, CIA, all those companies. So we're very into that that KG type stuff, cryptographic. So that's part of it. And another part of it is space. We do a lot of space design. We work for the companies such as Honeywell, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, do runs for them, and assemble a bunch of their space boards as well as equipment. We've got all the, not all the cameras, but the majority of the cameras that are in the cargo bay of the shuttle are assembled at my plant. So that's the type of work we do there, and that's what I've done for ever. Matter of fact, I've got some boards that are in satellites that are what they call EOS, Earth Orbiting Systems. There was a project, I don't know who, I guess it was the same folks that sent the Mars mission, JPL. Out of California, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory had a project where they were sending up satellites that used lasers to measure the stratosphere, the different levels of the stratosphere, and how much ozone and all this other crap. And I worked really close with one of their physicists in designing some boards that are now orbiting the Earth. So, that's pretty cool. I got a kick out of that when the launch went up for that, but knew that some of my work was actually sitting out there in space. That's kind of cool. I enjoyed doing that. I wanted to do that for as long as I could, and I did. But then I started to deteriorate, not rapidly, but fairly rapidly. I started to get to a point where I couldn't. It was becoming harder and harder to see the monitor, and to my field of vision was deteriorating, and so I decided that it was time to think about another career. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I think it's fortunately, at the time, this was back in, I guess, late 95, that I started getting my ducks in a row, getting all the paperwork done and getting accepted back to USF and getting all everything set up. My wife fell pregnant, and she, we decided that I would wait and to go back to school until after my daughter was born and things, and she, and 6 weeks later, you know, when we could get her into a daycare and my wife could go back to work and, you know, that kind of stuff and all that planning. But basically that didn't come to fruition. A week after my daughter was born, we found out that she had a congenital heart defect called tricuspid atresia that would require her to go through two corrective surgeries, one at 5 months and one at 22 months. Without going into too much detail, the two surgeries basically were to detach her vena cava, the superior and the inferior vena cava, from her heart and attach it directly to the pulmonary artery so that the return flow of blood from her body would go directly to her lungs for aeration. She was born what they call a blue baby. So the next 2.5 years were pure hell. They brought along with the good, bad came some good too, because, you know, prior to this, I as personally in my mental state had been depressed, and, you know, here it is time after 30 years that I was finally coming to the point in my life where I was going to be losing my vision more rapidly and becoming blind or severely visually impaired. And oh me, oh poor me, what am I going to do? Internally. I mean, you know, you don't really voice that. I'm voicing it now because I'm thinking about it, but it's in the back of your head, you know, and so when my daughter was born with this heart defect, it brought a whole different perspective to the table. She, you know, to see her having to go through open heart surgery at 5 months old, man, the kid, I mean, just tore me apart. And yet brought to mind or a change of state of mind that, man, there's always somebody worse off than you are, you know? I mean, you know this, or I knew this intellectually, but there was that emotional aspect of it that just, it was always there. Oh, poor me. Oh, why me? Why am I the one? Why does this have to happen to me, you know? But yet, when something happens so close to home that you see that there are others worse off than you are, that, yeah, being blind is not life-threatening. My daughter has a heart defect. She could literally drop dead on the playground at any time. That's not, you know, that's a very harsh thing to say, I guess, but in the back of our heads, it's a true statement. In all likelihood, it's not going to happen, but it's the possibility is still there. So, you know, having that so close to home just brought about a physical change of attitude toward my impairment that I guess enabled me to concentrate more on my where I was going as to how, I don't know, it's hard to put into words, I guess. Anyway, so after all her surgeries and everything were done, I finally went back to school and said, you know, it's time. I need to get myself to a point in my career where I can support my family and have the credentials to do that. You know, having the capability or the knowledge to do a particular job does not always translate into reality. I've always been told it's not what you know, it's who you know. But as we all know, there are prejudices out there that determine whether or not you're going to get a job. And having a visual impairment and going to an employer with that, you know, is always, you have to work extra hard to get to where you are. And I did not feel that I, even with my experience, had the credentials to do that. I wanted paper, where my friends were like, just go out and get a job. I mean, you know, I didn't want that. I wanted to get that paper behind me. So I did. I went back to school, and I didn't have my guide dog at the time. I started back to school as a cane user, and without getting into the whole cane guide dog controversy, I personally, having used sighted guide, my wife, for so many years, felt after a particular experience that I would be better suited to using a guide dog, having a guide. And so I went and got a guide dog, and I think it was the best decision I ever made. I broke down physically and cried twice during my training. Once I opted to do training occluded, you know, 6 years ago, I still had usable vision where I could walk down a street during the day with no problems, with a cane, and was aware of my surroundings because I could still see them. So I opted to do my training occluded, because come nighttime I was a total. And so, funny enough, Larry, in some of your podcasts, I've heard you state similar experiences on your way to work, where you'll be walking to work in the morning and it's trash day. I was doing my training in Bradenton, Florida. I went to Southeastern Guide Dogs, and we were doing morning training and morning routes on trash day. And I walked down a long block, occluded, and just blew through it. My trainer said, okay, turn around and take your glass off, because, you know, she was aware that I was doing this occluded to learn. And I took off my glasses and I turned around and I looked down the street, and there was just crap everywhere. Garbage cans, hoses. The section of the city that we were in was, let's just say, not the best, and it was just it was awful, and I could not believe that I had just walked down that street and not tripped or whatever, and just broke down. I mean, it just brought tears to my eyes. The second experience that I had was, again, I mentioned I was total at night, or am total at night, was when we went to a bar, we have a thing here in Tampa called Ybor City, a area of town called Ybor City. And it's a street, 7th Avenue, that has bars up and down it on both sides of the road, and nightlife and all this other crap. It's kind of similar to New Orleans type atmosphere. Well, Bradenton has a similar situation, not quite as big, not quite as long, that the trainers bring you to in the evening, and you do some routes down this environment. Well, of course, I love my dog, and learned to love him that night in the fact that he wanted to bring me into every bar that there was, which, hey, I didn't have a problem with, but my trainers did. They wouldn't let me go in any of them, which kind of sucked. But anyway, I walked through this route, and it was just the most exhilarating, the most phenomenal feeling that I'd ever had, because I had not really worked unoccluded. That was an unoccluded experience. I could see lights around me, but I couldn't see what was around as far as people, tables, things, you know, and it was just awesome. So anyway, enough. I sidetracked enough with the guide dog experience. I could go on forever with that crap, especially answering some of the situations with bad experiences with guide dogs, which, as a new guide dog user or first time guide dog user, I'm becoming familiar with, and maybe I'll do a podcast on that. But I decided to get my dog, and because of the O&M issues that I had with being comfortable with sighted guide. And I consider a guide dog sighted guide. So I went back to school, and I worked my way through school, and I finally got my degree last year in MIS from the University of South Florida. It was the most amazing. I actually went through the ceremony, the graduation ceremony, walked across the stage and got my diploma and at the auditorium, and got a standing ovation. I don't, you know, when they're reading the names of all the people going across, you hear occasionally family members, ah, blah, 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 blah. Well, when I walked across with my guide dog, the entire place just erupted into, clapping and whistling, and I was just amazed. I mean, you know, it's like, wow. But that was just the greatest thing. But anyway, along the way, I kind of transitioned into IT. A couple of years ago, I went to work 20 hours in engineering, 20 hours in IT. And then last January, January before last, right before graduation, 6 months before graduation, I went full time in IT. And when I graduated, they had brought me in like on a probation, I guess it was. And then when I graduated and got my degree, they made me an offer, changed my position, changed me from a technical grade to professional grade, and I'm comfortable. I'm happy where I'm working, although my wife would like it if I was to hit the streets and try to get a better paying job, you know, but I don't make bad money, and I like where I'm at. I like the people that I'm working with, and I don't know. I'm still torn as to whether or not I want to go out looking for another job. But what I do is now in IT, I do a lot of things. I started back in 97 when I in engineering. implementing a PDM system, a product data management system for engineers that basically I did not have the authority or backing or championship to get into full production with a project. And it eventually became a dead project because there was no support from the other departments. They weren't willing to put any money into it or for training or anything like that. And so it became a dead project in about 98. When I started back in 2002 and working part-time in IT, I started to talk to management, talk to the IT manager, my IT manager, and started developing, bringing this project back to life. I mean, criminy, we'd spent a good lot of money getting it off the ground initially and not having it implemented, and we still had licenses and all this for it. So why not bring it back? And so I did. I started, you know, kind of worked myself into a job, basically. So that's what I do. I integrated the system with our ERP system, wrote some scripts and some programs to marry the two systems together. Along the way, I also took on the task of implementing a VMware system. We had purchased a large SAN system, about a 2 terabyte system that we're up to 6 or 8 terabytes now. But initially it was a 2 terabyte SAN system, and we were using fiber optic switches to hook all our physical servers into. Well, I did a cost estimation on what it cost to maintain that and purchase any new equipment to hook to the SAN system and all this, and determined that it would be in our best interest to look at a virtual environment. So over the past 3 years, I took our server room down. My team took the server room down from 40 physical servers to, we're at 6 physical servers now. I've got 6 physical servers running close to 60 virtual servers doing different functions on these 6 physical servers. So that's another thing I'm doing. Very, very interesting type work. Very visual, unfortunately, but I do when I say very visual, as far as the Windows servers that are the VMs, I don't operate. I don't do that, but I do manage the system as far as back end, from the back end. I can access it through a console, Linux-based console, and through web-based configuration tools. So that's pretty cool. That's fun. And generally, that type of work, doing projects. got involved with implementing a Crystal Enterprise server, not writing any reports on it, but just managing and getting it up and running. I tell people, yeah, I manage a Crystal Enterprise system as well. And they're like, but that's reports. How do you design reports? I'm like, well, you know, if I had to, it could be done, but I don't really relish or enjoy doing that type of work. I just manage the systems and keep them up and running. What else do we do? I'm right now wondering how much my job is going to change over the next few years, in that our corporate entity has decided that it wants to implement an ERP system across all our divisions. We have different divisions, one here in Tampa, Cypress Electronics. We have one in Orlando, Cypress Test and Measurement. We have corporate is in Louisville, Kentucky. Where have I heard that before? Louisville. If I ever get up there, Larry, I'll look you up and we'll do a lunch. Marion, Ohio, Mexico, we've got plants down there, and they're wanting to centralize their finances across the board using a single ERP system. As far as financial goes, all the companies pulling up into a single financial package. So they're looking at this whole big, huge project. So that's my outlook for the next few years, is possibly being involved with the team and implementing a new ERP system and that type work, scripting some data migration for that type stuff, and should be fairly interesting. I hope I haven't gone on too long and bored you all to death. If you actually got through this, if you have any questions for me or would like to talk to me, I can either be reached through BCT or at kwatson, kwatson, at smed.yi.org. I'd be glad to answer any questions that anybody has. And I guess that's about all I have to say. Hope y'all have enjoyed it. We'll be talking at you.